Welcome to CC Natters, where we challenge the norms and break free from the walls of religion. Because as Christ's cities, we're called to stand out like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
That's so true. And on this podcast, really, it's not about giving anyone answers, but about uncovering the truths already within us about who we are.
Yeah. And together, we'll reflect on spirituality, mm-hmm. the Christian life, mm-hmm. and living in the fullness of God's love with clarity and understanding, even right now.
Yes, well, so really, if you're seeking a space to explore and grow in your faith with openness and curiosity, you are in the right place. My name is Aliela.
And I am Mo.
Yeah,
let's start the conversation. Well, hello, guys, and welcome to another exciting episode. I'd like to say thank you to all of our listeners. We're so glad that you have found something of worth in what we have been discussing. And we hope that you are sharing it and getting the word out so that more people can be stirred or spurred into deeper asks of what we are walking in, when we define our faith. So I don't know, today it's an interesting one today, and if I'm to be honest, I'm not quite sure how I want to approach it. We're going on the hot seat today. So yesterday we're just catching up, as we do. We're just talking about how, you know, some things that we've heard over time. And for me, I was bringing up certain things like some bits of scripture that I've heard in times past and how it informs my conflict on how religion has filtered through, and a conflict I'm still dealing with on a daily basis. And as we have established in our previous conversations about faith not being religion, and religion does not give us truth, the questions I have, and I'm hoping some people can identify with as well, are questions that make me wonder why I'm divided in my complete acceptance of the grace of God, which has been made available to me, and what part of that grace is my responsibility, if any. And these are the kind of questions I was kind of throwing at Illy. So I came at her with things like, why does the scripture talk about, if we say that our God is not a God that loves war, why was it in the Old Testament that it is purported like God protected a certain chosen few, and there were some people that, you know, they were left to be pillaged, that they didn't have the support of God? And then I asked the questions like, who are the elect, who are these chosen? And then if there's no such division, why is there heaven, why is there hell? And I was just giving her all this. I know this might be sounding a bit like, guys, you guys are going in on the deep end, but yes, I was going in on the deep end because I had recently heard another sermon about rapture and being, and making sure that we are walking circumspectly and making sure that we don't fall out of line of the salvation that God has given us. And I again wondered that, you know, we are of the belief that once we have received grace, we are once saved. And as a result, we cannot miss rapture. So why are we talking about this in our gatherings and our fellowship, while we're talking about how we as saved children of God can miss rapture? What are the things that can make us miss rapture? And you know, and those were the kind of my line of thoughts. And then I was like, I talked about how, you know, we can see in the Old Testament how God was like with David and said, go, you will overtake, you will overcome, you know, and he went into another, you know, another territory and took it over. Yeah, so, you know, I'm conflicted because it's kind of showing that there is a division, that there's some people that can fall out of God's grace. And it gives a concern then that how certain can I be that I'm not one of those that's falling out of that grace? And how do I know that even though I carry Christ on my inside, that there's not something that I can do that can exclude me from my godly living and as such put me on the outside of walking into grace? And because we start to wonder that, why are we saved? And what is the reason why we are so passionate about being saved? And if you ask anybody, it's because they don't want to go to hell. So where are we at with this? What is this concept of a few people being chosen, or is there anyone that can fall out of grace of God? Is salvation available to all? And if it's available to all, is there a hell? Because then if it's available to all, there should be. I mean, I'm not asking, I'm not putting you on the hot seat to say that this is.
Yeah, you're not asking me if there is a hell or heaven. Because I would not give an answer of yeah, there's a hell or there's a heaven. I won't give that answer. If let's just go back. Let's go back to the scriptures. The scriptures, so when you look at scriptures, I'm talking about whatever scripture it is. The scriptures attest to the life of Christ.
Right.
And what is the life of Christ? That God became man. He died. He was buried. He resurrected. And now men have become God.
Okay.
Like, literally, that's the entire gospel. The letters of that, like what that means, were as parables throughout the scripture. But for you to know what that parable speaks to, Jesus said, you search the scripture, thinking in it you will find life, but they are them that testify of me.
Okay.
And he encouraged us that the way to read the scripture is to look at his life, his suffering, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Why are those important? Again, somebody will say, oh, don't just add scriptures to scriptures. Let's go to it. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, the world, right? Darkness. And what happened? God said, let there be light. And light came. And when the light came, it displaced the darkness,
Darkness.
right? So that the light becomes the light of the world.
Okay.
Jesus said, I am the
Light.
light of the world. I am the one that gives light to the world. When he said that, he didn't say, I give light to some parts of the world, and some parts of the world will not have light. The state of the world before Christ showed up was darkness. Then the light showed up, and the light became the light of the world. When Jesus was being described in John chapter 1, which was why I said the sandwich of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. God and the Word became flesh, the
And dwelt
revelation
of
of God,
Christ,
and dwelt and
dwelt
was
amongst
amongst
us.
us. But the people rejected the light of the world because they loved their darkness. So we read through the scriptures how they opposed the suffering of Christ. We read through the scripture the pushback from the religious folks. We read through the scripture the pushback from society, the pushback from culture. We read that through the scriptures, the suffering of Christ. And that led to the crucifixion of Christ, where we were talking about last week, that was the fullness of the darkness, like the darkness that
Fullness
covered
of
the
sin.
entire world. We saw it on the cross because that's us putting him
Putting him
there.
up there, yeah.
But it was not so much so about him being there because there was more to the story. So the other part of it was that he was buried. And when he was buried, he resurrected after that. And his resurrection did not was not about him just resurrecting, because there's still a lot of people that have the image of the resurrected Christ in glory. It's like a fictional image. You see the resurrected Christ in glory, but the reason of his resurrection is so that he can pour out the Holy Spirit. It says it is expedient that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come.
Yeah.
And when the Holy Spirit came, what was that? It was God in men. So when we have missed the whole point of the good news of God,
mm-hmm.
that the tabernacle of God is now residing in men, when we have missed that, we are expecting something else from the conversation, because to us it's like there's a return of Jesus as king.
Mm-hmm.
He told us the first time when he came,
mm-hmm.
that his kingdom was not of this world. He told us that his kingdom was not observation and timeline.
Mm-hmm.
His kingdom was within us. Yet, after he told us that, that's not sufficient for us. Because we can't make sense of that. The kingdom of him is like the marriage of the...
Okay, the reason why those things are imprinted so much so is because scripture tells us that, you know, and by parable as well, it speaks about God Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride. And basically, there's a coming together, the marriage supper.
Yeah,
we're coming together.
So let's look at the Christ being the groom,
mm-hmm.
and the church. And the church being the bride.
Yeah.
Right. So let's look at that.
Mm-hmm.
What does that speak to? It speaks to oneness.
Oneness, yeah. Union.
Union. That's what it speaks to. Oneness.
Right.
So when you go to John chapter 17,
mm-hmm.
as you approach the end of John chapter 17, Jesus starts to make a declaration. He talks about, as you are one with me, make them one with us.
Yeah.
Make us all one together.
Right.
Help them to know that you love them just as much as you love me. Jesus is making this prayer that John wrote out to speak to the one nature of him, the church, and God in resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is,
this can only happen when the Holy Spirit is poured out and received. Is the Holy Spirit poured out on everybody?
Yeah.
Is everybody received the Holy Spirit?
So the Holy Spirit has been poured out.
Yeah.
It's not, so like the Holy Spirit is not just going to be poured out on somebody new. Mm-hmm. Like, no, the Holy Spirit has been poured out.
Okay.
The reason we declare the gospel, and I always say it.
Yeah.
Is because we recognize the power of the gospel to awake somebody in righteousness. So it's like when I declare the gospel to you,
right.
I am waking up your spirit. Yeah,
okay. So it's there.
When I tell you the truth,
it's ignited.
I quicken that spirit. When iron comes to this iron, it sharpens that iron.
Yeah,
it brings you up to the awareness of what is true.
Yeah.
Right?
We often think when we use that connotation of iron sharpening iron is because we're thinking that it's within the body of Christ, though, that you know you have to be with another knife to be sharpened. Okay. You know, but
I want to say this, and mm-hmm. I want you to come back to whatever it is we're saying.
Yeah.
After Jesus died, right?
Yeah.
He didn't create a sect of church for himself.
No,
he didn't.
No.
What he asked the apostles to do was to go into the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Every end of the earth.
Yeah.
He didn't even ask them to create a church either.
Mm.
He just said, go and preach the good news.
Yeah.
He never told anybody to create a church.
No.
He never said that this is what is going to be a sect. We, over time, with a lot of human influence and a lot of societal influence and a lot of tradition influence and a lot of lying influence have come to this place where we now have sects. It's like I'll give you the type of sect that it is. In the olden scriptures, so you saw the Israelites, that's the Jew, and then you saw the Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you're either in God's camp or you were not in God's camp. That's literally what it was. You were either circumcised or you were not circumcised. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came,
mm-hmm.
he said that I have other sheep that are not here.
Yeah.
But those sheep, they're going to come in. And so when Paul was describing it, he said, in him, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no circumcised, there is no uncircumcised, there is no rich. All the things that we, like, he literally told us. But we had a people, a group of people that have appreciation for fellowship. Appreciation for fellowship is great because it's good that you and I can talk about these things.
Yeah.
It's great. But we must not use our appreciation for fellowship as something that Jesus came to do.
Mm-hmm.
His fellowship is not just us. His fellowship is with you and I, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, all in that fellowship.
It's so interesting that you brought that end of scripture about having sheep that are going to come in, because that's a question I had. We're not going to address it in this conversation today, but I get that concept. But there's also, this is why I said that we get this conflicting type of communication in scriptures, because like in that scripture it says, go ye out, you also said if you're not received, you say you should dust your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen to the people that don't receive it?
Okay. So I think that this is the thing, right?
Yeah.
When Jesus came, this is the way I'll answer. The world did not receive him.
Okay.
His siblings did not receive him. Like, they literally didn't believe him. John cracked a very interesting story about James. So James said, oh, you can't have the power that you have and then be sitting at home. Go to the streets, let people just... And he was saying it because he didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was. Right? So the world didn't believe him.
Right.
But you ask yourself this question. The world not believing Jesus, did that make the cross important?
No,
exactly. If your answer is no,
because it's still the purpose of the cross was still fulfilled, and the resurrection, the purpose, you can't negate it. You can't negate it. But what would then happen for the unreceptive section?
So you need to understand.
It doesn't negate the power.
You need to understand what I am saying.
Okay,
I want you to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
the world not receiving Jesus.
Yeah,
if that didn't reduce the potency of the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, if it didn't, it means that, and I'm going to put this in a big quote with capital letters written, it means that there is nothing that can reduce the potency of salvation for all. Because salvation for all came by the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and the pouring out of the Spirit. That's how salvation for all came.
Yeah.
Somebody can ask, where is the place of our believing now?
Yeah.
Okay. I always say this. This is like a journey through the ages. We are in an age. We're journeying through the ages.
Right.
And within the age, there will be knowledge stored within that age. There will be an understanding that comes in that age.
Okay.
And as soon as that comes and it filters through,
yeah,
it ends the ignorance of that age and pushes them into a new knowledge. It ends the ignorance of that age and pushes them into a new knowledge. What we will see is a description that is like in the parable when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that is put in dough, and then you gently knead it together until every part of the dough takes up the yeast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process of an age.
Mm-hmm.
What you're probably speaking to is probably not a manifestation that we will see in our age or even the age of our children. It might be a manifestation that we see in the age of 100 years to come. And the reason I say that, it's because we are the ones traveling through the age. God is not shaped, is not shook by that timeline. So in God's timeline, the end and the beginning has been established even from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that in the end, the attestation the world will have about God is that the tabernacle of God is with men.
With us.
So the thing is, the tabernacle, the awareness of that tabernacle of God dwelling in us, it might take a while before man gets there to get to the fullness of that understanding and living in the consciousness of our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is going to happen, I mean, there's another parable in the scriptures that talks about the wheat and the tear.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tend to see that as the, it gives an understanding to what is going to be happening through the ages. Mm-hmm. What will start to happen through the ages is you start to pick out the tears so that the wheat can remain.
Mm-hmm.
For the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You pick out the tears so that we can remain for the harvest. The tears are the plantings that are not of Christ, that are not of God.
For clarity, the tears are not unbelievers.
The tears are not unbelievers. They're not unbelievers. They are seeds.
So it's imaginations and thought processes that are ungodly.
Yes. Imaginations, thought processes, principalities, forms, authorities, whatever it is.
So it's weeded out from every person.
It's weeded out from the field of God that he's planted. So the tears start to go out. The tears start to go out. And the moment the tears are all out.
So in this picture, when we go through our refining and our burning through fire. So in this picture that you're painting, it's a shedding away of every person created, because we are all planted.
Yeah.
So it's a shedding away of every thought that has been lodged in us by reason of the fall of man.
Yeah.
So then these thought processes are weeded out.
And yeah.
Then we come into the fullness of our person in God.
Yes.
Then we become God men.
Then we are.
So then, you know, the conversation about the return of Christ, the seat of judgment, the conversation about God coming back for his own, this unfortunately makes that feel like that's been, it's almost like saying that we are discounting that statement in the
Bible. So the thing isn't that I'm not discounting it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to poke your understanding of it.
Okay.
So because when you say Jesus comes back from his own, mm-hmm. for his own,
yeah.
You have to understand that his own is everyone. So the thing is, when you think his own is not everyone,
yeah,
then it makes you feel like he's coming back
for
a particular set of people.
This is what we've been imprinted with.
But actually his own is everyone, because he died for everyone.
Yeah.
Jesus said something in John. He said he didn't come to condemn the world.
Anyone, yeah.
Because the world already was in condemnation.
Yeah.
What he came to do was to save the world.
Yeah.
And I think last week, we were talking about how that salvation came by the true knowledge and revelation of God.
Yeah.
We're going to enter into a realm, and when I say realm, I mean like an age, where the knowledge, the true knowledge of God is not, you know, it's not going to be unknown anymore. Everyone will know God. We're going to come into that age. Somebody can go, what do you mean everyone will know God?
Mm.
And what I'm saying is, there is no need for you to imagine a world where everyone will know God. What you need to do is to spread the good news of the knowledge of God.
Right.
Because that is the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah.
I love Matthew 24. And it's so interesting that a lot of Christians actually read it as well. You see this thing about there is going to be wars and rumors of war.
Yeah,
there is going to be this and there are going to be that.
Yeah.
And there is going to be famine and pestilence and diseases. Two people will be going and mm-hmm. one will be taken and the other would not be taken.
Yeah.
And you read all
this.
You read all these things. And it then See something interesting. When you read the King James Version, right, it has a way it puts it. But when you read the Message translation, I love how Message translation says it. It says all these are routine history. It says all these are routine history. So pause, go back to Genesis,
Right.
and start to go through it. There will be wars and rumors of wars.
Yeah.
It's always been.
Okay.
There are always wars. Brothers will rise against brothers. Yes. Nations will rise against nations. Yes. There
Okay.
will be pestilence and famine. Yes.
Okay.
There will be, what is it? What else? Whatever it is that you're
Yeah.
thinking,
It's happened before. It's
somebody
been there.
will go and the other will remain. Yes, it's typical. That's very similar to the story of Noah.
Yeah.
Like, some people were swept away, some people remained.
Yeah.
Like, all this. But it said something that is not written history.
Yeah.
It says the good news. It says while all these things are happening, it says the good news of the kingdom will be spread through the ends of the earth. Some people are very busy observing the routine history
Yeah.
to have for themselves an end,
Yeah.
when actually the
The
work
business you ought
that
to
you're
be
supposed to
about
be doing is spreading
getting
the
the
good
word
news of the kingdom.
out.
The thing is, they don't know. The real problem is people don't know what the kingdom is. That's exactly what it is. Because they are thinking God is going to come and establish. So they have an idea in their head. In fact,
Yeah.
a lot of people go into Daniel chapter, I think Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 6. They read it, they've crafted the church timeline. I mean, I always say that the reason you can be very confident about that church timeline that you have crafted is because you and your council of principalities
Oh my
think
God.
that that is the timeline of God.
Wow.
To know the timeline of God, know God. Because if you know God, he will not keep from you what is happening in any timeline. I said to a friend a long time ago, I said that when I read the story of Abraham, it triggers me in a nice way, right? Because I see in that story like God is always being in the business of telling people what he's about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's always wanting to
He
introduce
is
himself.
he's always in that business.
Yeah.
So when you know that God is always in the business of doing that, you'll be like, yeah, he's always in that business. The difference though is this. It might bring you to a place where you go, oh, so maybe Abraham knew him then. But the thing is, Abraham's vision of God is
That's gonna
very
go next.
different from what vision of God Christ presented. Abraham's vision of God was God as a creator. Abraham's vision of God was God as a supplier. Abraham's vision of God was God as a
Yeah,
covenanted
yeah.
person, was a promise
Yeah.
keeper, was that's Abraham's vision of God.
Yeah.
Jesus's vision of God is God as Father. And so it's very interesting that when you go through the Bible, I think a lot of people would tell you, and I'm really very sorry when they start to say it. Oh, a lot of things are taken away from it, and some people want to, like they're like justifying. Oh yeah, they had to take it away because it didn't speak to Christ. Chronological, kind of what people say all sorts, right?
Yeah.
But when you actually come into the knowledge of God, you know all that thing doesn't matter anyway, because you don't need a whole book or many books or all of those to come into the discovery of God. What you need for the discovery of God, God himself provided. He didn't give it to man
Yeah.
to do it. He himself did it. It was his spirit, and he gave it to you.
Wow. Wow.
So there is no point
That's
arguing
true.
about books. There is no point arguing about beliefs. There is no point arguing about chronological or non-chronological. There
Yeah.
is no point arguing about the timelines or no timelines, because what God needed to get to you, he himself made provision for, and it
So
was
what
his
about
spirit.
people that don't accept the concept of the Holy Spirit? They're people that very profusely and very convictedly reject the notion of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I understand.
So how would that person who is in that state of mind, how is that person God's own? How does he receive the pouring out of the Holy Spirit? How is he part of the people that God is coming back okay. for?
I understand
yeah.
why you can have a group of people see the Holy Spirit as some sort of
spooky
voodoo.
On yeah.
And that's because somehow the church probably presents as such.
Okay, be that as it may, if the church has done so,
yeah.
knowingly or unknowingly,
yeah.
those category of people, nonetheless, have rejected. What? They're rejecting the Holy Spirit, no, aren't they?
You can't reject the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
You can't.
Bible talks about.
Yeah, I know that people say that, and the reason, and so I'm going to draw a line
yeah.
between our understanding and how God says things.
Okay.
So in our understanding, Jesus was talking about, like, there's a sin when he was talking to people, and he said the sin that is probably the worst sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people have tried to explain what it is.
Yeah.
That what does it mean to grieve the Spirit? And does that mean that the Spirit can go away?
Mm-hmm.
Or does that mean that does that mean that you can lose the Spirit? Some people have said that, well, grieving the Holy Spirit in that context could also mean that you need to be open to the Holy Spirit for you to be saved in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? So if you reject it, so if you reject him and you don't welcome it, it means that you are not saved. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we try to push all of those things in, and yeah.
Yeah.
The way I always approach it is go back to God's lines right. and go back to what he did at the beginning.
Right.
When the scripture says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Did God keep darkness in a place and then make light shine on another place?
No.
Because the light was for all to experience, isn't
yeah.
it? Good. So this is it. We already said that did the people's unbelief, did it make important?
No.
So the fact that you think that you're rejecting the Holy Spirit, the fact that you think that you're rejecting the Holy Spirit does not exclude you from being a child of God. If you like, jump up, jump down. If you like, find your way into hell. The fact that you want to do that does not invalidate who you are as a child of God. That said, I understand, because I need to be aware.
Yeah.
I understand that there are people who are among us that are probably not children of God.
Mm-hmm.
They're out.
Okay.
But those people are not human beings like you and I. There are people who have dabbled into darkness. They are actually sons of darkness. I understand that. But they are not people like you and I. And I'm not in the position to start talking about sons of darkness, because it's not my subject. Yeah. Light is my subject.
Right.
There are a lot of people who are like church people, and they get into that conversation. That is not the good news that was committed to my mouth. The good news that was committed on this sleep is the good news that God has come into the world, and by him and everything he's done, yeah. God is now dwelling in his own children. And you know, I believe that when I declare the good news, like Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and the voice of another, they will not listen.
Yeah.
When you hear the good news that God is for you and God has come for you, and all he wants you to do is grow in the knowledge of him, his grace, his love, so that you can come into the fullness that he has prepared. Not the one that you will enter into yourself, but the one he has prepared. When you know that,
You come into freedom.
That's what he committed to me.
So
you can ask somebody else, what did God commit to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
But I know when Jesus was leaving, he left the same mission
for everybody.
go to the world and declare the good news. What we see, though, through the gospel is that we see a system that already had a thing, and we saw crusaders of the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And what was recorded was their battle with the existing systems.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see Paul in the epistles trying to establish, like, this is the goodness of God. This is the thing of God. This is it. And then people are saying, yeah, but you can't say that. And then this person is just behaving anyhow. And then that person. And Paul finds himself trying to address, you know, the situation with the good news without necessarily compromising the expectation within the
human,
you know,
nature.
Exactly.
Human nature.
But does that mean that the evolution of man and God will be stuck at the epistles?
Mm-mm.
No. Because it's going to come to a point that we are the epistles that people read.
That's right.
So when we say that, oh, we go to the epistles, yeah, but we are not stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, each epistle, it has, by default, it has human impositions, and we, even as epistles, will probably have human impositions as well. And I thank you for the perspective that you've brought. And I think it's definitely stirred my thought pattern. And it's making me think that we're vainly preoccupied with things that cause us to continue to find limitations where God is propelling us into non-limitations. And I think as human nature, because of our need to subjugate, our need to class things, you know, we're so into classifications, and different people want to exist in different roles, so to speak. There's the middle class, the upper class, and these things influence our culture, influence our faith and religion, and it really does influence what we know, what is introduced to us, what is communicated to us, so that some people are left in a state of limited knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And what the gospel brings is the freedom to know, and to know completely through Christ.
Mm.
And I think it's just bringing our minds to the simplicity of that grace. I think that's what I'm getting from this conversation today. Why am I so preoccupied with heaven or hell? Why am I so preoccupied with the non-elect? Why do these things matter if I am going about the business of him who sent me? Which is what Jesus did when his parents were looking for him. Like, how did you just disappear and not tell us where you're going? Like, guy, I'm here to go about my father's business. And that was priority. I think that's what I'm getting ministered to my spirit right now as we've had this conversation today, that what is our priority when we gather, when we come together, when we stand on the pulpit, when the streets are our pulpit? What is our priority?
Mm.
Are we there to tell someone how they're not worthy or how they can fall short? Are we there to tell them that this love is available for you, this grace is for you, and like you said, to awaken the Holy Spirit in them so that they can become the manifestation of the sons?
Yeah. I love how beautifully you have kind of wrapped it, right?
Yeah.
And I understand that this can sound a bit like, what was that? Like, I didn't even get that. Like, what did they just say?
It's a process.
It is. We have to allow the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
The knowledge of God that a lot of people have now, that knowledge has to go through repentance,
mm-hmm.
because it's not the true knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And perhaps you cannot get people to believe what is false anyway,
yeah.
because the truth is what is sure.
It'll keep digging on your inside.
Exactly. You can't do that.
They'll keep raising questions because it's not the truth.
People need to. The church just needs to really mind God's business.
That's right.
And God's business, Jesus said it. He said, the will of my Father is that everyone be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's business.
Yeah.
God's business is saving all.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people will go, oh, but you talked about like there's going to be the sheep and then there's going to be the goat. And it's going to say, as long as you've done this to this little people, you've done it to me. You know, like it's, there are so many things that people yeah. are in there. And I always say, why are you minding yourself with what he is not asking you to mind yourself with? And what I mean is that everyone, as we are, we're going through like a learning process. It's like when somebody is in primary four, you then present to them university curriculum. When we all get to the university curriculum, we will see the university yeah. curriculum. Yeah. As we are going, I know that I know that a lot of people use this verse very wrongly, but I'm going to put it in the right light that is it is. We know in parts.
Yeah.
So as we are going, we are seeing and knowing in parts. Yeah. Our understanding is coming in parts. But that understanding is to a whole. The whole, nobody will come into the knowledge of the whole without the other person, because we will all arrive at the whole at the same time.
Amen.
That's the rapture.
Hmm.
When the whole come to the knowledge, because he said, he gave a very clear explanation of wow. it. He says in the end, there will be such knowledge that every knee will bow and every tongue, every nation and every tribe will have one confession.
Wow.
About his lordship.
Mm.
We will come to that. I think because we read the drama in the Old Testament, we're expecting a similar drama
yeah.
in the end.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
But the end is not about the drama.
Hmm.
The end is that the yeast of the kingdom is gone into all the sects of the dough.
Hmm.
And what you see is that a dough that was flat.
Yeah.
It's now
fully risen.
And risen.
Mm.
What you will see is a seed of a tree that was planted. And then it actually goes through growth. What we are going through is the growing in the knowledge, the growing in the grace, the growing in the, it goes through that.
Mm.
And when that tree rises, that tree, that knowledge of the tree says is for the healing of the nations. Mm. The fruit from it.
Yeah.
So people are, and I appreciate religion. I do appreciate religion.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just a place that is now gone a bit like off it. It's going off track.
Yeah. Mm.
It's going off track.
Oh, this is so good. Like, there's so many things that is just spurring off from what we just discussed, just on that subject of rapture, but not today.
Mm.
Wow.
I think we can.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Let's wrap it let's up wrap because it up.
Yeah.
There's so much that we've looked into. There's so much that we've tried to highlight.
Mm.
And we welcome, do you know what? Because it's not because we alone have this picture. I want to invite you to this conversation. I want you to engage with us and actually tell us what you think
yeah.
of what we have discussed today. It's not to alter anyone's perception, honestly, because something Ileola said to me today is so freeing and liberating, and it's amazing. It's a beautiful picture to think that I have no business deciding who is elect or not, because if everyone is a Godman and all I do when I bring the life of Christ is to awaken another Godman, can you imagine that beauty?
Mm.
Can you imagine that world? So let's awaken one another.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we really do hope to see you again next week.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye. Bye.